make sure you are talking to him right now. What shall I more say? For time will fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak, and of Samson and of Jephthah, and of David also, and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness, were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. What shall I more say? What shall I more say? Reveal unto us the strength of the strong, the wisdom and the power of them that are mighty. Open our eyes, O God, and bring simple men into deep things of the Spirit. Cause nameless people to wield great power in your kingdom. What shall I more say? I hope you are talking to God. Hope you are expressing your heart. We have come for practical. The issues of having the ability to communicate with God and to get response from heaven are practical issues that we need to search into. We need to understand. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Now turn your Bible quickly. Amen. I don't intend to take all of the time today. We'll do extensive teaching tomorrow morning and evening. I just want us to lay the foundation of that which we'll be probing into. And I'd like you to turn your Bible with me to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 14. Amen. Ezekiel, chapter 14. We'll commence our journey from that point. If you're still with me, say amen. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 14, I'd like us to gain ascendancy gradually. Then came certain of the elders of Israel unto me and sat before me. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, you see, I like the ministry of prophets. Because of the ability. No. I like the ministry of prophets because of the ability that God has given to them to share in a privilege that is an exclusive reserve for God. Hallelujah. Now, please listen to me. It's worthy of note for us to understand that the Bible reveals that God does not look upon man or define a man from his outward appearance. God's definition of a man is the state and the attitude of his heart. Alright? In fact, if you are going to go far with God, and God has mercy upon you, and he wants to take you with him on a journey, what he does is that he carries out a surgery on your heart. Because God can look at you now because of the configuration of your heart. He can tell how far you will go. Just the state of your heart in the present. Are you still with me? I say, are you with me? He can look at your heart and tell where you will be in the next 25 years. He can look at your heart and tell what you will be involved with in the next 15 years. It's all encoded upon your heart. Alright? You know, ministry is a risky thing. Very risky. Because you can be standing before people and the people don't know what is going on the inside. But God's definition of what you are doing finds expression and its bearing is on the platform of your heart. Now, this is what happened. I'd like your attention to be drawn. Amen? Hey! Are you still with me? You see, this meeting has been concluded. That's... So the day of Pentecost, as we read in the book of Acts of the Apostles, began in heaven. And then earth now joined later. But the meeting that was spoken about in the book of Malachi chapter 4 began on earth. It's earthly people that initiated it. The Bible says, they that fear the Lord, they spake. What happened? They did what? Were they speaking to God? No, they were what? Speaking to one another. Now, you see, the Bible went further to establish that these guys were people that feared God. Gave us that insight, all right? So the things that we're talking about were the things that God was doing, the things that was breaking out, the resources that God had made available for the season that they were in. They were trying to bring their little bits together so that the jigsaw puzzle could begin to make some sense. And they were bearing witness about the movements of God inside of their spirit, bearing witness about what God was doing, about the visions that they have been seeing in recent times, bearing witness about the encounters they have been having with God. And they were just sharing like that. And then as they were sharing, it was as if a force field was created and their natural fellowship triggered something in heaven. And in heaven, what was taking place? They were opening a book of remembrance. Hallelujah. You are not with me. Okay, let me leave that because you are not with me. I wanted to show you something. Meetings can be triggered from heaven. Meetings can be triggered from earth. But it's the day of the sons. The day of men that understand their father's jokes. And their father's language. When they begin to utter it, heaven begins to come closer. Now this is what happened. In the book of Ezekiel chapter 14 that we just read. Elders of the land. They came, they acknowledged the grace that was upon the prophet. And his territorial position. You see, there's an order in the heavens. And the order in the heavens, the timing and seasons of the heavens, is not the timing and season in the natural. The strategy of the heavens is not the strategy of the natural. And we must understand that more and more, God wants us to sustain the pattern of heaven for everything. That means we must be viewing everything from the viewpoint of heaven's standpoint. Are you still with me? Now, so these guys came to the prophet. It's a time of consultation. It was a time for wisdom to come forth, for direction and strategy to be born. And then as they were holding that meeting, God now showed up. What happened to be that because of the office of Ezekiel the prophet, he was the only one that noticed that God showed up. You see, this meeting we're talking about is a meeting that is activated in the natural. And then a supernatural being now decides to join him. I want you to see the perspective of the supernatural being as revealed to the prophet. You see, that's why I say I like the ministry of the prophet. Because they share some things with God. I couldn't. When God looks upon a man, he doesn't say you are wearing a green shirt and you are 6 foot tall. He doesn't bother about the way you look. He looks at you and defines you from the standpoint of your heart. But you see, God once in a while puts grace upon his servants to be able to detect the state of people's hearts. In fact, Saul had an encounter with God.
and the things that the encounter brought were encoded in his heart in the language that he could not decode. And when Samuel looked upon him, Samuel said, I'm going to tell you everything that is in your heart. That means he had access by his office once in a while to peep into men's heart and to define men by God's definition. Because God's perspective of the definition of a man is the state of his heart. You get that? Now, so my assignment in a few minutes, my friend has come. He has a word from the Lord concerning several strings of things that have been breaking out in the spirit realm. We are putting them together so that we'll know the strategy for the season. Hallelujah. Are you still with me? So I just want to set us in motion. What was God's perspective about what they were doing? And the word of the Lord came unto me saying, Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their heart. I thought they came to find a way forward for the territory. I thought they came in their capacity as elders to seek counsel and reason from the Lord as to how several things that have beclouded the land can find their worthy solutions from the mouth of God. They were gathered, they acknowledged the office of the prophet and his territorial placement and stature. They had come, and a conclave had been concocted. Now, God now comes and says, these men that you are sitting around, they all have idols in their heart. Okay. Let's go on. And put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired of at all by them? Now, it was as if in the natural, these guys came with some petitions and prayer points. We have not been told the scope of the prayer points, whether they were territorial prayer points about the land, about the community, whether or not it was their own prayer, personal prayer points. But we see that God's response and God's perspective about the people that gathered was that there were idols in their hearts. And it was God himself that said, can I be inquired of by people that have this kind of description? That's why I like the ministry of the prophet. The prophet may not say these things that God told him. But you see, because of his office, he shares something with God. And God will not have him deceived. One of the things that we have discovered on the account of this interface between the heavenly and the earthly is that it's not everybody that can inquire of God. It's not everybody. You know, Chris, in Lagos, I don't know when last you came to Lagos. If the prayers are sending from Lagos, if those prayers are answered, then Lagos will be one of those places where that ladder that Jacob saw, one of the feet of the ladder will touch down Lagos. God began to deal with me in recent times and to make me understand that except something is done about our true definition, because a man's definition is his thought pattern that is sustained upon his heart. For the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Should I say something? I wrote it on my script. If you need to write, you can write this. Prayer is an art that is established upon a foundation. Now, you just come and you think all it is about is if you can speak well enough, if you can pour out your heart well enough. Sorry. There is a foundation upon which prayer that reaches and ascends on high is established. So I said prayer is what? It's an art built upon a foundation.
And the foundation of which we speak is the attitude of the heart. Now, you see, many people will say that prayer is a verb. It's a doing thing. But in my current research and my dealings with God, I found out there's a part of this prayer, the foundation of prayer is not a verb. Are you still with me? I'm not trying to confuse you. I just want to bring you to a point, a place where we can muster the power and the ability and potential that God has ordained us to muster in this season, because we need every inch and ounce of it. Now, why do you think God made us tripartite, spirit, soul, and body? Why? Now, Boniface, you will edit what I want to say out of the video. Now, listen to me. I went to Bible school. This is what I was taught in Bible school. I have not found it in scripture for the past 17 years. Alright? Now, if I'm talking to the ministers now, if you have seen it, you can correct me. In Bible school, we're taught that man is a spirit. He possesses a soul and he lives in a body. Have you found that in your Bible for 17 years? It's not in the Bible. Now, you see, this is my calling, what I'm doing now, to establish doctrine and balance. It took me 17 years to make this statement. Can we go on? We must understand who man is before prayer, before you understand prayer. You must know who you are by design before you understand how to lift up your voice and it goes on high. Do you get me? Alright. Now, most of the churches that are faith-related churches pioneer that emphasis. Alright? And because of the pioneering of that emphasis, some faith preachers that have gone a little bit further now are saying, well, man is a spirit, so it doesn't matter what you do with your body anymore. You can live in fornication. It's your body that is fornicating. But your spirit is separate from your body. It's your spirit that is saved. You get that? You have not heard that doctrine before. You have heard it before. Now, it is based on that error that man is a spirit. He has a soul and he lives in the body. Check it in scripture. Can I start from Genesis? I studied the Bible all through just to confirm if this statement is true. Because Job, Elihu said in the book of Job that there is a spirit in, he didn't say man is a spirit, he said there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them what? Understand. I can show you in the writings of Paul where there were times where Paul referred to his body as me. There were times where Paul referred to his soul as me. There were times when Paul referred to his spirit as me. In the book of Romans chapter 7, are you still with me? I'm just troubled. I'm troubled. Please, I'm afflicting you with my trouble, but bear with me, please. You understand what I'm saying. John said this year we should not talk English anymore. So no more English. Now, listen. Listen. In the book of Romans chapter 7, Paul said, in me, verse 17 and 18, that is in my flesh. The me in Romans 7, 17 and 18 that he was referring to there is his body. By the time we get to the book of 1 Thessalonians, he and 2 Thessalonians, he perfects that doctrine. And then now reveals to us the purpose of God. That God wants to sanctify us wholly. Then he said what? Spirit, soul, and body. So based on that scripture, we cannot conclude that man is a spirit. Because the Bible says God intends to sanctify us how? Wholly. Then he now mentioned what he meant by wholly. What?
spirit. Now, but you must take note of the order that he mentioned it. He didn't say body, soul, spirit. He said what? Now, let me go further. Are you still with me? You see, there is a possibility that that alignment pattern, spirit, soul, and body, may not be achieved in the life of an individual. Because the Bible makes us to understand that a house that is divided against itself shall not stand. So it is possible that a house is divided against itself. And a house that is divided against itself does not sustain that pattern that Paul spoke about. Holy house, spirit, soul, and body. If by any means the one that is in your own case, soul is first, maybe body is second, spirit last, you are a creature that is not going to develop after the image of Christ. Now, should I go further? Okay, let me stop there. People that I'm speaking to understand what I've said. If you don't understand this thing that I just explained now, I don't know how you can raise your voice and it will go on high. Because you can be praying from your soul. It's based on the things you have captured from your soul that you are actually developing utterances to take to God as incense. What you are doing cannot strike a chord in heaven, because the alignment pattern has been truncated. You see, the Holy Spirit dwells in your spirit, and that's why your spirit must have authority in all your dealings. Your life must take its bearing from the wisdom and strategy that comes from the spirit realm. In fact, your soul will have to submit to your recreated human spirit, and your body will have to submit to your soul. Because there are several times, if you're under the influence of lust, your body wants to have its own will, but you know that your body is rebelling. Okay? So you have to. Yeah, you know that in your soul. And it is the place of your body to submit to your soul so that alignment can be achieved. See, you cannot touch heaven if there's no alignment. Spirit, soul, and body. That is the sequence. That's the pattern. Now, so, are you still with me? Just basic prayer lessons. Basic. Not alignment must be achieved. Sometimes you go to work, some people made you angry, you said the things you could not say. There's a distortion in that alignment. When you come and start speaking in tongues, it takes a longer time for you to hit anything reasonable in heaven. It's because the Holy Spirit is working to restore that alignment. Do you get it? Are you with me? Do you know how long it takes? Or I don't know how long it took you, but how long it took me for pride not to be the lead agent in my life? It means my soul was ahead and there was not much God could do with me. Who told you that God will leave any part of your being separate? Doesn't do that. Because you don't understand it. In the kingdom of God, he deals with your spirit, and in the kingdom of heaven, he deals with your soul and your body. Because man is tripartite. Man is not a spirit. I've not seen it. He is tripartite. He is spirit, soul, and body. That's what I found in scripture. Yes, but they will not see that. They will not see that. What you said now. Now, you see, I've seen so many people that are super spiritual. There are people that their spirituality doesn't affect their existence, doesn't affect their relationships, doesn't affect what they do. You know, there are churches like that that teach all those kind of things, and a weird species of Christians have emerged that believe that it doesn't matter how you do what you do in the natural, you are just a spirit being looking for expression. It's not true. When Jesus put on flesh, he lost his omni qualities. You need to know that. He lost his omni qualities. If you have to do anything, he will do it by the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. You must understand. And that was why Jesus was saying, in the ministry of the Godhead, a new regime was going to find expression when the Holy Spirit comes. He said, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come. Why? They were used to a Jesus that slept with them, a Jesus that wake up with them, that will go with them to crusades and preach and turn loaves, multiply loaves. That was what they were used to. He said, no, a day is coming. That day will not be limited as it is now. That day will be the day of an eternal spirit that is living. And if you can only give him half a chance, if you believe him in the mosque, he will possess you. That's a new day. And say with me, one of the things I found out is that a believer doesn't want to live according to the prescribed alignment pattern, and he wants to have a mighty prayer life. It's not possible. Your spirit will take the lead. When you wake up from sleep, you must feed that spirit. Put it on the lead. It's a responsibility. The fall had distorted the configuration. You must understand that. That's what the fall is all about. Just to distort the configuration and to empower other aspects of the sequence much more than the spirit, so that spirit life will die. Meanwhile, if we are ever going to sustain the image of Christ and to do the things that he did, then that order must be restored. He lived from his spirit. He lived by his Father. That was how he lived. And we are going to have to live from our spirit and to live by Christ our life. Do you get that? Okay, you can continue from here. That one was just a... Hallelujah. If you find a scripture, two scriptures in the Bible, that reveals that man is a spirit, he possesses a soul, he lives in the body, come back to me. I'll come back here. Then I say, based on this scripture and that one that I found, which I did not know previously, I made this statement in error. Right now I correct it. We are not so proud as not to be able to do that. Alright? But we are called to defend truth in our day, so that people that want to seek God genuinely can find him. There's an alignment pattern. What? You are going to do elaborate work to put your spirit on the lead. Because if your spirit is not on the lead, your heart will be defiled. And I need you to understand that the attitude of the heart is the foundation upon which prayer is based. Perpetually, the devil seeks to take your heart out of alignment with from spirit influence. That's what the devil is trying to do. Because the Bible says that we should keep our heart with all diligence, for out of it derives the issues of life. Why do you think the Bible made that statement? Why do you think God made that statement? I've always said it, that in the natural, every organ that has to do with the issue of life is protected by the best bones. The brain is protected by the skull. The lungs and the heart is protected by the ribcage, and the spinal cord is protected by the vertebral column. Every organ that has to do with the issue of life has a special protection of natural life. You get it? But you see, he said, keep your heart. Keep it with diligence. Because out of it will derive the issues of your spiritual life. And God did not put a fence for the heart. He said, that's your business to keep. Now, if God says keep, it means something will come to strive for it. Just like God told Adam, keep the garden and dress it. And Adam did not understand that he was supposed to be the fence of Eden. The living fence. Locking around his borders day to day. And checking if his territorial integrity had been breached. Adam did not understand the gravity of what God meant by keep it. Just like many of us do not understand the gravity of what God means when he said keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Now, are you still with me? Now, if God is going to change your life, and if you are going to do anything meaningful that is going to affect the heavenly realm, it must rise from your heart. Now, these guys came for a spiritual thing, but their heart was not in alignment. And God says, these guys cannot inquire me. They cannot ask me of something and get the right answer. What is going to happen is that in this state, if they ask me of anything, I'm going to answer them according to the idols that they have in their heart. That means their lack of alignment is not a function of... See, they are in their offices as elders, they are in a conclave as territorial leaders, they are naturally aligned. But you see, when God showed up in their meeting, he found out that they were totally disaligned. And the only one man he found in alignment was the man he was talking to, the prophet. And that's why in God, the number is not majority. In God, the man that is in alignment is majority. And that's the man that will attract God's attention. And God began to reveal to me from the month of January that we need to restore the alignment of the heart. Then I began to study the Bible again. And then I found strange things. I'm going to bring my teaching to a close in the next 15 minutes. We'll continue tomorrow morning and we'll gain depth. Are you with me? We'll gain what? Because first of all, I had to apply the things I discovered from the table of God to my own life. And I saw that my ability to make demands on heaven and to see instant changes take place. Not psychological changes, for God's sake. I mean, instant, practical changes. I began to see that increase when I began to take note of the things that many people rush and never get to see. Come with me for the next 15 minutes. Let's join. Hallelujah. You have to struggle to maintain the alignment. We were trying to come to Makurdi today, me and my friend Abraham. And then somebody was trying deliberately to make us annoyed. Then I touched him. I said, when you are going for the kind of meeting we are going for, one of the laws is that you never get angry. When somebody wants to make you angry, laugh. Don't lose your alignment. You have something going on with God. Don't lose it. When the devil sees that you're about to strike a mark, he comes to break that link. Now, you can be fasting and praying for so many days, and then heaven holds a meeting and says, we are going to meet you in 3 days' time. I don't know. It's as if they call the devil too for such a meeting. I say, you come. We have information for you. Information that will help your ministry. We are going to meet this guy in the next 3 days to open up the treasures of heaven to him. Oh, that's good information. Then he comes down, begins to operate from the environment, just so that you'll not be in alignment. I've seen several people that cannot take in. All right? Then you see, when the angel, I don't know, but pregnancy is time dependent, based on my training in the school of the spirit. Now, when angels come to bring the child, they can't stay for long, I found out. And then somebody in the environment, in the compound, will now come and make this woman angry. And when the woman becomes angry, her womb becomes black, and the angel cannot see it. And when the time is expired, it goes back and has to come again in another season. All the devil is trying to achieve is just to break the alignment. Who told you that what is happening in the natural is not important? You don't understand it. You think prayer is just to come to church and come here and say, mambarabaraba. How long have you done that? I think it's time for us to learn how to command deliverances unto Jacob. What words did Elijah use in 29 seconds? And he locked the heavens. 29 seconds. Read what he said. He said it for 29 seconds and the heavens were locked for 3.5 years. Now, is it vocabulary? At least he was able to leave us something to glean from, to know where he was standing, to make the utterances that he made. As the Lord liveth, before whom I stand. He was in active alignment with heaven. Hallelujah. Whereas you are talking about the audience in the natural, about the 500 people you are preaching to, Elijah comes and says, as the Lord liveth, before whom I stand. He's talking about his audience in heaven. And as long as I'm in alignment with him, I'm standing with him, there will be no rain. Then he locks the heavens and then he throws the key out and goes to sleep for 3.5 years. Has God stopped giving men that kind of power? I remember one day, I think till this moment, That's the day God heard me most. We were in a meeting somewhere and it was threatening to rain. And I prayed. As I was preaching, it was open air. And I prayed. I said, God, no rain! The rain fell and stopped close to us. But it did not. It was falling. If you cross and you go this way, you will be under the rain. But it stopped. Jesus. Well, some other time I tried to do it and we were all wet. So, I was wondering, what did I do right? It's in the scriptures. And we need to find it. Hallelujah. Because Elijah called down fire from heaven many times. It was as if that dimension was for him to control. How did men gain so much power with God that they could influence things at their own will? And God answers. I believe there are several details that they pay attention to that the average Christian doesn't want to know any longer. The foundation of all utterances that ascends into the heaven is the attitude of the heart. And if a man wants to be strong with God, to have influence in the heavens, to influence things, and to bring the power of heaven to intervene in the earth, he must take heart issues seriously. As I try to round up, we are going to see what I call heart check exercise. Heart check. There is a software that a company uses in Lagos to track vehicles. Seasonally, you are expected to drive your car, if the software is on your car, you are expected to drive your car back to the warehouse so that they run something called a health check. If the chip is still synchronizing with the database, the internet, the GPS facility, health check. Now, I studied my Bible while these things were troubling me, and I came to realize that David did so much of heart check. And I was wondering, David, what's wrong with you? Every day you're saying, search my heart, try me. What kind of stuff is this? Then I found out that David was a man that had power with God. It is my opinion that the entire book of Psalms was written just to show us the kind of checks, juggernaut, that we need to do upon our heart to keep it perpetually in alignment. I had to study again the entire book of Psalms to find out the technique. How did David was involved in all kinds of stuff, but how was he able to? Except you want the utterances that you are making to end up in this room. But if you want it to go on high, so much so that if you come and begin to engage a discussion with Elijah just now, heaven begins to open records just because you are talking. It's a powerful thing for a man's heart to be aligned with God. Powerful. I don't know if you have been there before. I've been there. It was an accident scene. We're already going to die. Those of you that know Peugeot, you know the angle with which it Peugeot has a good cutting angle. Then we're coming with a Peugeot car, those old ones. And then the steering was now turning 360 degrees. What will hold it for it to come back? Was no longer in place. It was just, he had his own wheel. That's what I mean. The steering had his own wheel. It was just there. So the driver was no longer in control and the car was on top speed. And it happened to be that where we were was a hill. So the car, he felt there was more hope for us if we glided off the road. Then he tried the wheel and found out that he was actually not the one in control of the wheel anymore. But the thing swayed off and we're going for the kill. And then one woman by my side, she quoted something from the Quran in fear. Have you been there before? Have you been in that situation where
you really need an intervention, and what you know must work, or you pay with your life.
You know, I was taught of the Lord. One of the things that God taught me in handling emergencies is that don't talk for a few minutes. You come into a ward and it's as if the person you came to visit is about to die. Don't talk. If you can't handle what you are seeing, turn back, face here. There are many things to see. Just be seeing things. But don't talk. Wait on God. Wait on Him. So He taught me that many years ago. So I just stayed. Then the name Jesus came to my heart. And I spoke it. And that was all. He didn't come again, so I didn't speak two times. And when I said, I spoke it out. The car now hit the side of the hill and bounced up. And when we went down, it was not rainy season. I don't know, a farmer came and tilled the whole land. He was energized of the Lord. He tilled the whole land in dry season. Because God knew that's the only way He would save this man. And when I said, Jesus, that steering that could not turn, and turned and faced the ridges. By the time we went on the first one, and on the second one, the third one brought us down. Have you been there before? Will you quote a prayer from the Quran the way that woman did? Because there was somebody that was in such a situation. He invoked the idol in his village. He's a pastor. But at that point, it was the name. Only God knows what is in the heart of man. He invoked a name from the village. Heart check. Principles of heart check. I have 5 more minutes to go. Number one. Let's go to Psalms 139. He invoked the name of the idol in his village. You know, many of you pray and you leave your heart out of the equation. You just do some activity. Sometimes you want to pray loud in tongues so that the next person will know you are here. If you are doing real business, you not care about all of that. I can pray in tongues and pass by you based on the way I'm being quickened by the Holy Spirit, and you may not know. And I can do that for 2 hours and just be passing. Your heart is important. Psalms 139 as a round up. 139. Are you with me? Psalms 139. If you are there, say amen. Hallelujah. Verse number 23. Some of the scriptures I found about David that made me wonder. Search my heart, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. Can we read it together? Search my heart, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. Now, there are a couple of scriptures I would have loved to open to us. Okay, let's read the next verse. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. There's a contradiction here. I don't know whether you have seen that contradiction. The contradiction is that he's asking God to search his heart. And then he's not saying, search and see if there is a wicked way in my heart. He didn't say, if there's a wicked way that I've adopted. You don't know that the ways you walk on in the natural have already been sustained there.
Now, I was teaching about the heart some time ago, and I made my audience to understand that the heart operates like chromosomes. You see, while I was 5 years old, the chromosomes I had already had encoded in it my hair color at 29. All of those things were already encoded. With time, it keeps unveiling. But what is coming out and manifesting today did not begin today. It's already what? Encoded. That's how the heart is. The heart is an encoding. It's encoded in a language that God has encrypted, such that He can look upon it and see the outcome 25 years from now. I'll show you. It's like chromosomes. So if God wants to change your future, He brings you into a situation that is so terrible that cracks your thought pattern and then enables you to consider something outside of the box. Something that you were not willing to consider before. If that happens to you, it means that the mercy of God has worked upon your life to bring you out of a pattern that would have led you in a way. You are not with me. See, David is a prophet. He knows the foundation of all things as far as men are concerned is the heart. And so the Bible says that we should keep our hearts. Meanwhile, as part of keeping your heart, the Bible makes us to understand that the first thing you need to do in keeping your heart is that you must subject it regularly for searching. Now, I know that is not a regular part of your prayer life. You don't do heart searching expeditions where you subject your heart and then ask yourself questions. If I have 2 million, can I still reject 2 million and go with God and suffer? If 10 million comes, can I reject it? And if you don't ask yourself those questions, why are you doing? Okay. You want to go far with God so that when you stand like this, there's nothing in you. So when you cry, heaven knows a son is crying. He did so much. He gave up so much for his heart to be disaligned. Because God's definition of you and the way God sees you is from the standpoint of your heart. So David said, search my heart. That's number one. Then he said what? Try me. Then he said, we're not seeing the sequence. Wait first. Search my heart, oh God. That's number one. Know my heart. Two. Try me. Three. Know my thoughts. Four. Okay. Let's add Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27. Let's find out what is God's search instrument. In Proverbs, please, just follow the sequence. I'll end now. In Proverbs chapter 20, are you with me? Proverbs 20, verse 27, the Bible says, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. That means God's candle, God's illumination beam, by which He examines your inner content, is your spirit. All right? Now, the other time we were trying to teach on the parts of the spirit and the functions of each part. It was a long teaching. You just get the tip. One of the things that the spirit is there for is so that God can use it to search the inward parts of your belly. Notice that he called it parts. It means there are many parts. The inward parts, that's what the Bible calls it. That inward area of emphasis
that God is very conscious and particular about is fragmented into parts. If we move forward to the book of Jeremiah, you're going to see. He said that I'm going to put my law on their heart and in their inward parts. Two things mentioned here. Their heart and then inward parts. The heart there, the inward parts there in that scripture. It's talking about the parts of his spirit. So, when we say in this scripture now, the spirit of the of man is the candle of the Lord with which he lightens the inward parts of the belly. The spirit is involved, the heart is involved, all the things inside that actually forms your definition are part of the things that God wants to illuminate by your spirit. Get me? Okay. Now, it means that if God searches the inward parts of our belly by your own spirit, you can understand your own heart by his spirit searching you. Now, God searches you by what? Your spirit. Then you want to know about you. You ask the spirit to search. Why? Because the Bible reveals that the spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. So the spirit of God is a better search machine than Google. Now, if you don't find that need to go before God and say, search me regularly, you will be operating. Something that God is emphasizing doesn't matter, or you overlook it and believe that because you have overlooked it, God too will overlook it.
Amen.
If you don't do frequent heart checks, you can become wicked and not know it. That David said, search my heart, try me, know me, know my thoughts. Why? If there be any wickedness, because wickedness can be in you and you not know. Hallelujah. I need volume because I want to drop a bomb now. Wickedness can, as a preacher, wickedness can be in you not know. I'm not even talking to the people sitting down. As a preacher, there'll be wickedness creeping into your heart because you are not conscious of what is building up in your heart. That's not your emphasis. You just believe in, let's get the miracles, let's get the money, let's get wickedness is building you don't know. How can you explain this kind of a thing when a prophet goes to a sick woman to pray? The woman is gasping for life. This prophet requests 100,000 naira from the sick woman before he prays for the woman. Now she's gasping. So the daughter, who is a doctor, now goes to the bank and makes a withdrawal. He said that the Lord said, this 100,000 naira is for 5 widows, that he's going to distribute it and then give them a prayer point. And when those widows pray, the woman will be healed. So she now went and brought the 100,000 naira in that situation. Then he leaves them broke and he leaves fat. And then 2 weeks after he leaves, the woman now dies. The woman dies and they don't have money to bury her because the 100,000 naira that would have facilitated some payments, the prophet has taken it. You see, he is not aware that wickedness has built inside. Meanwhile, he wants to command deliverances unto Jacob. In my years of ministry, I've come to discover that it's possible for you to be a preacher and wicked. And people that mean well for you, you mean them well, but they don't mean well for you.
and they can stay with you for 7 years. But you see, if you probe the person won't know when the wickedness entered. Why? Because the heart check is not part of the person's lifestyle. Your ability to more and more command the hand of God is dependent on the state of your heart and your mind to the current emphasis of God in heaven. How aligned. I see David crying. I say, David, I remember those days we used to pray and cry. When last did you cry in God's presence? You know, the place we were praying was not a hidden place, so anybody can pass. So they now pass and see you crying. They say, what sin have you committed? What sin? I've seen wickedness. But because of the bountiful love of God that we have touched, we are not concerned about wicked people. I will not change because a wicked man struck me. No. The dealings of God has gone beyond that point. But you see, it's very easy as a preacher not to know that wickedness is creeping. And the man that I speak about is a prophet that prophesies to presidents. In Congo, they gave him red carpet reception. Flew him from Kenya, picked him up with the president's personal jet. He came out of the aircraft on red carpet. You know that kind of scenario. You can speak in tongues. You can be speaking like that, and there's wickedness on the inside. And you are not conscious. You are not careful to check it. That's where we are in our day and time. Nobody cares about what is lurking in the heart anymore. You just come now, perform this thing. Do it now. And you keep going on that path until one day, like Moses, you will cry and there will be no response. One day, like Samson, you will shake yourself as other times, and you will find out that the Holy Spirit left you long enough. All the while that he stayed was so that you could repent and come into alignment. But it's not a part of the average Christian's life to go for heart check. When last did you go for heart check? You want your ability to pray and command deliverances to increase, so that God will give you that kind of grace. When you stand like Elijah, you can lock the heavens over a nation. Let's come back to the table. No, don't take off like a tornado. Let's check. God uses your spirit as a candle with which to peep into the inward parts of your belly. God is conscious about what is in the inward parts of your belly. You will have to beckon on his own spirit to help you with a check. You see, can I go deeper? You know, David said, he said, also know my thoughts. Do you know if God wants to reveal your thought to you, a terrible situation must happen? You don't know. Simeon was prophesying to Mary, and Simeon told Mary, say, a sword shall pierce your heart so that the thoughts of many might be revealed. Anytime thoughts are to be revealed, there's always a sword, a piercing, a situation that shakes you, then you see your tendencies. Or if you want God to reveal people to you, expect a sword. It will pierce you. When the piercing comes, because you will not know the way the person is on the outside, you say, no, you are blind. And if God likes you, he pierces. And then through that, the thoughts of many reveals. There are several things that you don't even know that you are capable of now, because situations that will trigger it have not come. It's better for you to ask God to help you with the searching in private, so that you can deal with it before those things show up. Alignment is of the heart. And that's where we have forgotten. That's what is missing. And that's why so many prayers going on. If the prayers they pray in Lagos, if the people praying them are in alignment and the heart, Lagos will, the spiritual bomb will break out. But after all the prayers, you don't find the Christianity on the street. That's indicative of the fact that the heart of the people praying is not in alignment with God. I saw you Nigerian Christians pray. But you see, there's no power available. You see? See the seat of power. See what's happening in government. See the kind of... You know, this night you have to go back. Just like I will have to go back for heart check. God needs your spirit to check the inward parts of your belly. You need His spirit to check the inward part of your belly and to reveal to you. I was praying. I read R.W. Sandbach's book, The Miracle Working Power of God. He used A.A. Allen's life as a case study to write that book because he worked under him. So I was reading, I desired the power of God. I was tired of just teaching. I knew there was a little more inside of me that was not finding expression. I said, okay, God, let's stop this thing now. And I was reading the book and praying. And then the last chapter, personal things. I said, all right, no problem. He said, after you have followed all these things, there is one I don't know. Those ones are personal things. You have to go to God for God to reveal what is blocking the power. So I now went to God sincerely. Hey! I want to know! And I prayed and fasted for 3 weeks. And there was no answer. Then I went to preach on a crusade. May God not show you the answers to your prayers on a crusade ground. But you don't know what I'm talking about. I went to preach on a crusade ground and a mad woman stumbled into the crusade. And the people in the environment knew she was mad, so they began to take off. And you know the preacher can't run. Because they were filming me. If there was no camera, maybe, well, you won't even know who is the preacher. But there was camera. So this mad woman came in, and even the ushers, I said, oh yeah, hold her! They took off. So at least somebody must march down there. So I had to march, not with boldness. The boldness was on the face. And I marched to the woman. I said, what sick ye? Then she gave me a slap. Ah! You know those cartoons that they show stars? When the stars began to clear, I saw I didn't fall. That was the first thing I noticed, and it was good for me. Hallelujah. After the slap, she said, you are owing money. Wait, let me explain. Now, many years ago, they were holding a crusade, and they used my bag to take the offering. And when they used my bag to take the offering, they forgot 1,000 naira, which I discovered when there was poverty, and I used it. And then when they were doing the crusade the next year, I went and gave them 1,000 naira, hoping that I had paid back. And then on the crusade ground, the old man said, you are owing money. And I said, all right. Even if I'm going, I'm not owing you. Owing my father. Yeah. That's when the spirit, the woman was suspended like this. And thrown. Poof, and the demon left. The father of that woman is a Muslim. He gave us money to contribute for the crusade. But wait, don't laugh. I now went back after the crusade to God. I said, am I owing money? He said, you're owing now. I said, no, I paid now. Say, that was your contribution for the crusade that year. You are still owing. See, search my heart. You don't know. May the revelation of your heart not come on the crusade ground. So I went back and told them, I took your money. If I had put it in a bank, it would have yielded 3,000. So I gave them 3,000. See, you may not know. You may not know what is holding you until you do like David and you say, okay, Lord, okay, search me. You will find strange things. I assure you, you have been to strange places. I assure you, you have said strange things. I assure you, you have touched things that are abominable. When you cry, He will open you with a light, a brilliant light that will pierce into the depth of your reality and bring out things and say, see, this is what has hindered alignment.
It was after that time that I could pray for people on in open view and see miracles. You will not believe that when I went and confessed, they could say that's not finished. I confessed, I said, okay, God, I will pay. I was preaching on the crusade ground, and a crippled woman began to walk. I didn't know God healed. And you know what? The guys in the neighborhood knew she was crippled. That was where my fame went abroad. Meanwhile, I didn't know what happened. If your heart can be in alignment, God can use your presence as an excuse to walk in wonder. That's something I've not been able to fully understand. How that you show up in a place and God does something. Not because you pray, you are just there. Then I found out that prayer was more than talk. It was a state of heart. And that's the part that we omit that makes our talking lack potency. Search me. You know, the time when this thing happened, I felt I was the holiest man on earth. The holiest man was owing money. That was the last kind of error that I'll ever feel will be written against my name. And guess who I was owing? Not man, I was owing God. I went to preach in Abuja, and the pastor called me and said, man of God, all the financial channels have been closed. I went to seek God. Then I called the pastor. I said, you guys are owing tight. Deserted! How did I know? I said, no, I didn't know. It was the Spirit. As long as that hindrance is there. So this, your situation is self-inflicted. If you start heart checks, you'll begin to discover that most of your problems are self-inflicted problems that you can change now. I found a power in the presence of God that people that are aligned can wield if only they were careful enough to look into the things that God was concerned about. Search my heart. Can you say that prayer? Try me. There are some times where you will not know who you are until God puts you to the test. And He tries you with some money. He gives you a little influence around. He's watching to see if your walking style will change. Then it will be true that you are a small man in a big body. Meanwhile, the mountains in the nations need to be conquered. The kings must have to bow. Even the desert tribes must have to confess. He needs people on their own. But the reason why He cannot advance you is because you are a big man in a small body. When He tried you with little, you were satisfied. So He pegged you on one spot. Can we pray that prayer? Search my heart. Try me. Now please don't pray it because I'm saying you should pray it. Because if God really gets set to try you, not like the circumstances. That's why He will not do that until you pray for Him to do it. You invite Him. Say, oh yeah, try now. And you will see strange things. A lot of people are about losing their license in ministry. Now, I'm not speaking just limited to this platform. I'm speaking to the body of Christ. A lot of young preachers are about losing their license in ministry. And there's about to be a chain of scandal after scandal in the body of Christ from young preachers. I counsel you. Let your heart become a priority if you want to go far with God. There is a roar from the belly of hell that many young people will be slain before the end of this year. And that's why we need to draw nearer with a pure heart to seek alignment with God from the standpoint of the core of our being. Search my heart. When last did you pray that prayer? Try me. Know me. And know my thoughts. If there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting.
Sometimes
when I stand up to pray for 1 hour, I'm doing heart check. You are praying and binding the demons in your village. Leave them. If it is true, Elijah did all those ones in the cave, and when he came, the demons in the village, he dealt with them in 29 seconds. He dealt with all the principalities in the land, 29 seconds. Notice that when Elijah's son came for him to pray and call down fire, he didn't start by calling down fire. Oh, you are not with me. If I see here, say amen. Did he start the business by calling down fire? There were several rules he had to obey. He had to set the altar in order. All of those things are the stages of alignment. We are going to look at it. He had to pour water. What's this guy doing? He arranged. He was doing heart alignment. That's the graphic picture of alignment that needs to be done to call down fire. And that was actually territorial alignment. By reason of the ordinance that God has set in the territory, they have abandoned it. But if we look at that territorial alignment, we can glean one or two things that are indicative of the heart process that must be put in place in order for us to contact heaven. Now, if I study my Bible very well, in the Old Testament, there are only two people that called down fire. Elijah and Solomon. If we have time to check Solomon's prayer, you will see the elaborate prayer that he prayed. And he didn't even say, let fire come down. The Bible said when he concluded his prayer, he had already fulfilled the demands for the fire to come. So he didn't need to invoke it by himself. There are many things you have been invoking. If you do what needs to be done, fire will come by itself. I've seen the devil turn back before. He came for me, and he came for 10 years, and he was consistent. Then after 10 years, he found out he would not win. So he left a threat and he turned back. Then I told him, why not now? Because he said, if we get you, you will not survive. So I said, why not now? If you are in alignment, he can't squeeze you. Then after that, he now sent a lady from the water to train my path for 5 years. And after 5 years, when she didn't succeed, she now preached to me. I said, this is your God that you have served. Don't leave him. She now left. That was the agent that was sent to deal with my ways so that the threat can find expression. And she endured for 5 years. You don't know how hard the devil is willing to try to get your heart to shift. And when there's a shift, you become vulnerable. The wicked spirits of darkness can't stamp it. Prophets of old labored to keep themselves in alignment because they knew the things they were contending with. The kind of spirits, the kind of demons. They knew that if they were in alignment, they could command the whole of heaven and heaven respond. One man came against Egypt and he conquered. You can't do that. He was in alignment. And he had power because his words went on high. You will hear David say, examine me. So you must submit yourself regularly for heart check. God will not quicken you to do so. He will not prompt you to submit. It's something you will do by an act of your will. It will be a decision. Search my heart. Now please ask your neighbor, when last did you go for heart check? Please, demand an answer. Timothy, when last? You are concerned about your headache, about your neck ache, how that you need a massage for your back pain. You don't know that your heart. Sometimes 2 hours in the room trying to find alignment. And there's no alignment for the whole day. So I continue tomorrow. And if I come for a prayer meeting, while you are saying we should pray about the demons in the village, I will not join you because I know I have not reached where to pray that one. I'll just be doing my own heart check. Yeah. I'm telling you, this is what I do.
then the time comes when he breathes on me. Even if your prayer is remaining 5 minutes for the prayer meeting to close and I cry, I see as I cry. I see the impact of my cry. I see it. My eyes are quickened. There's power. Because, see, man is nothing without God. Some of us will not make that mistake Samson made to think it was about him. We will not make it because we made it before. And the reason why we are alive is because he shielded us in our error from the demons that wanted to destroy us. Now we fight, we hide ourselves before we fight. And when we fight, we win. You will hear God almost bleed when he says that these guys speak with their mouths, but their heart is far. It's far. So when treachery begins to rise in my heart, I report myself instantly. Somebody did something and I felt like killing. So I went to God and said, if you allow me, I will pierce him on the heart so that he will die instantly. Have you ever taken report? You took yourself to God and you reported that you had what was moving you now. The only thing that can for it to find expression, it will be a dagger to pierce. Because you have never reported yourself to God before, that's why you have not heard the words of wisdom. Because there was a time I took that kind of a report to God and God said, you want to fight, you can have your fight. That's good for me. Before I took off, he said, but you will wander in the wilderness for 3 years longer. Some of you, you are dangling around the corridors of fornication. God can actually say, if you want to go on, you can go on. But it will take 10 years from you. Have what you want. Since you want it badly, me too, I'm with you. Go. But when you find it, before you gain that alignment again, it will take 10 desperate years of seeking and you will be discouraged before that time. Nobody was meant to be an imp in the kingdom. But God cannot empower you beyond the alignment of your heart. We must put the basics in place so that we can mount up with wings like eagles. Christianity is weak and wicked in our day because it doesn't pierce deep into the heart. Campsites are filled with people. People that are not practicing Christians, and God cannot depend on them. Search my heart. Try me. I was going to preach in Abuja. And I was in the taxi. I was in the owner's corner. I don't even know the church. They say it's somewhere close to Prince and Princess. And I now saw a member of that church that I could recognize. And I felt a prompting. The Holy Spirit was saying, pick this lady. And he didn't even tell me why, just a pick. I said, what? How will I appear in the church coming down from taxi with a lady? With lady. And the voice didn't come back. Now, I missed the church 2 times. We were going around the church, but we didn't know the place. If that was enough punishment, I would have loved it. But when I now found the place and I stepped, the first person I saw, she was just arriving. So, and my peace left me. So I knew that in that state, I can't preach. So I now called her and said, please, forgive me. Meanwhile, she holds me in high esteem. You? Hey! She bent her head to start to pray for her. I said, let it be done now. Like this. So that we can fulfill all righteousness. She didn't even know what she was praying for, but she prayed. She wanted to pray, she didn't have words, so I gave her the words, like the way we do on the crusade ground, to utter. When she prayed it, my peace came back. When I landed on that pulpit, one of the first people that came down under the power was the lady. But I would have missed that service. If Jesus is not your first audience, you will do many wrong things. Yes. You will see a preacher will come to the pulpit and kneel down and say, pray for me, I slap my wife at home. Then you look at him and say, was that an information for our consumption? You don't know the man's audience. That's a genuine prophet. It is because we are no longer conscious of what goes on in the heart that we are weak and beggarly. Meanwhile, God does not see your outward appearance. What he sees.
Hallelujah.
Sometimes I spend time worshiping, not because it's not the song I'm singing, no. I'm begging.
Hallelujah.
And I don't care how you feel about how I look while I'm singing that song.
Hallelujah.
I'm begging.
Hallelujah.
Because some time ago we bow to God that will not fail him. So those words come back to me regularly.
Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
I went to write civil service promotion exam. And my colleagues began to ask me for answers. One will kick you like this and say, waiting day, waiting, which pastor, no day here, pastor, this kind of thing.
Hallelujah.
So when they disturbed me too much, I now told them a few answers. And I knew I had failed that exam. Listen to me, I don't fail exams. If what you want us to write is in paper, I can't fail it. I fail because God declared from heaven,
fail.
That's why I fail. I knew I had failed because my peace left me. So I didn't worry about the exam again that I know I failed. And my problem was, I was no longer in alignment.
Hallelujah.
When I came back to Makodi, I refused to lead prayer. You not know why. In Kano, he prophesied, say, your destiny is in three steps. First step is the academic step. You have climbed that one. You will not do any formal academics anymore. I say, okay. What do you mean that? Then I bought form. I gave her. I said, give me an admission. She went and did everything. I said, I have admission. Why did you stop? And I have money to pay. Then the day I paid, my peace left me.
Hey.
When we come for prayer, we pray for 2-3 hours. Small peace will come. Small. Fragile peace. That when you shout, the thing will.
Hey.
I labored under that burden for like 1 month. Until I say I'm not going again. I cried. Then the peace came back. What was the problem? I went to pay school fees. Can we do something today? Forget about your title, your portfolio. Let's fight it. Today is for him, so that we can find him. Can you ask him to search my heart, the inner core of my being? I don't want to be left out of that which you are doing in this time. If you are here and you have not given your life to Christ, I want to invite you to stand up anywhere you are. It's a bad time not to be in Christ Jesus. If you have not given your life to Christ, just stand up anywhere you are. Stand up.
Hallelujah.
Just stand up on your feet.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
You remember that time that God made an impression upon your heart? Just an impression. He wanted you to stop, but you still kept on going. Men that want to have power with God, they don't rebel that way.
Hallelujah.
a good time to stand and pray, don't you? Elijah said, as the Lord liveth, before whom I stand. You might want to stand before him right now. It's a call to stand before him. Stand before him. Stand before him. Search your own heart. And better still, ask him to bring his light to reveal. The paths of life in thy presence. In thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand are pleasures evermore. This is the pathway of life. Open your hearts and you will see. Light shall enlighten thine eyes. Open your heart and you will see. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Let's have our seats for a minute. For a while. Hallelujah. You know, what does God really desire? What does He want? It's a childlike heart before Him. It's not so much a heart full of plenty knowledge, but a heart that is full of the knowledge of Him. A heart of in contact with Him. Paul said something about the heart of a child. He said, in malice, in issues, in understanding, be ye men. But in issues with people, be ye children. Jesus said, except ye repent and become like one of these little ones, you will in no wise see the kingdom. And he had said earlier that blessed are the pure in heart, because they shall see God. So there is a childlikeness of heart that is of rank before God. That is of value is one thing. Childlikeness of heart amounts to purity. Purity is gold before God. So it's of value. But I'm talking about rank before God. Before you can ascend some hills, you must become a child. Who will ascend the hill of God? Who will come before his holy mountain? He that has a pure heart and clean hands, who will not swear falsely. A lot of times we are too intelligent, too experienced, probably too mature for God. And when we are too mature for God, we can take care of ourselves. We can protect ourselves. I already have ways in which I'm going to fight for myself if the need arises. The defenselessness of a child is not there. That warrants God to come around and surround you. But that is what it takes to have the power of God. Today I was coming. I'd known that there was something wrong with the car because I'd been hearing this whistling from inside. He said, travel alone. The last time I left here, I wanted to travel with somebody to Abuja. You know, it's not like I don't know the roads too well, but it's just not good enough traveling alone just in case. He said, travel alone. When we got to town, it's clear something is really wrong, but that car didn't misbehave until I entered this town and parked it. It's when we went somewhere that it refused to start. And I realized all along, it could have stopped at any point on the road, and I was alone. And that's what he was telling me. What he said was, travel alone. That's when I will be with you. I remember when around 300 level university, God had me start what was a network. And that's the time in campus in which network is popular now. You are all in a network. But it was not then. Every time people on campus ask me, what's the name of your fellowship again? I would say, no, it's not. It's a network. They would say, eh? The network. I will have to repeat and explain each time then, because it was so unusual an idea. And I didn't know what it was. I had no experience. So I had to develop leaning on him. Where I'm going is this, that a situation developed one time that put me in a serious disadvantage, of which I was innocent. But it looks like I was guilty. And it was very embarrassing. And I just brought it out and I was beginning to say, look, this is what happened. This is my own position, but let this other person talk. And the person was going behind and was doing all kinds of things. For years, it pained me. It was a terrible wound. I told the Lord many times that you set me up. Because if I had done things my own way, nothing like this would ever happen. And you know it. But you kept pushing me until the situation was too late. Each time, over time, people would come to see, okay, this was what he was saying. He was right. But the situation was obscured. Years later, 3, 5, 4 years later, I was still thinking about, Lord, you are always setting me up. And then he said, do you know, you don't even know the thing that you did that triggered heaven. The day you flung that person out and said, this work is not me. It was simply a campus work, but you took it like anything God cannot be played with. So you let them do their own part, air their own views, and put you in bad light. Say, the day you decided that in your heart, there was a loud noise in heaven. And I didn't even know for about 5 years. He says, it was at that point your promotion came. And I did not know. The other thing was, I needed to prove my point. Now, those are the things that were bothering me all those years. Like, these people didn't get my point. And they get the other people's point. And I was out to look, we are serving God. Let me just do something like for God and leave my own side alone and do my own side, but put God's side by me. So I said, that was the thing that they were looking for. I noticed around that time, that was the time I started traveling to Kano. The power of God was breaking the place. Testimonies of going to speak to the atmosphere, signs and wonders. Those things start from the heart. There are issues, there are things of the heart. A lot of people bow to you, they bow seven times to you, but they are still as proud as Lucifer. Simply because you mastered the Christianese culture, the Christian culture of bowing and showing respect, does not mean there's humility in the heart. Bible says a broken spirit and a contrite heart, God will not despise. And that was it. God has to see your heart bended before Him. I don't know how else it can be. I don't know how else it can be. People tell me all the time, prophet this, prophet, and I'm looking at them because I know something else is at work. You think I'm running the show. But the person gives me orders. And by the time he finished giving orders, he has rearranged everything. There is really no choice about what to do with your life or where you are going to go. He has so arranged it in such a way that he gives you an order and he has created a situation to make sure you comply. So I don't see what my power is anywhere. I don't see how I'm a powerful person when I'm simply following dictates. Hallelujah. This is why we wait for God to speak to us. Not just to show us things or to give us direction, because the speaking of God causes a light to spark in our hearts. Do you see what I'm saying? The speaking of God creates illumination. It burns away chaff inside of you. Even if it is a rebuke, let that word still come. Do you understand? Because it causes things to lift. It causes veils to pierce. It causes peace to come in. You are in a position where you are comfortable, not just by the way things are, but by the way the word puts you. This is why we have communion. Hallelujah. Whatever it is that is birthed in the kingdom comes from that position. In January, we ended that contact meeting by the cry of the Spirit for apostolic fatherhood. The Spirit of God was having us repent on behalf of the body because of disalignments with reference to apostolic building and governing. And so our intercession rose up here. The Spirit of God had me call Apostle up to make that decree as a prophetic symbol of the restoration of apostolic fatherhood. Because when there is heart alignment, individual heart alignment, we can have corporate alignment. When we achieve corporate alignment, when we come together individually aligned in heart, corporately we are aligned, we generate something. From a position of corporate alignment, we can gain structural alignment. We can be arranged, patterned internally and then corporately into such an array as to reflect the positions of the host of heaven in the earth. By so doing, creating a gate for God to come through, so that which is invisible becomes manifest. It was structural alignment that Balaam saw in the camp of Israel that turned a course into a timing for a manifestation of the movings of God and His blessing. How goodly are thy tents, O Israel, thy tabernacles, O Jacob. God has blessed, I cannot curse. It was the structuring of the tent around the ark and the tabernacle of congregation, the arrangement and the alignment of the tribes that He looked at, that turned a bitterness into a beauty. Are you listening to me right now? We are still talking about praying. Because if you are not aligned internally, you cannot penetrate the spiritual realm. When you pray and shout, it's not the volume of your voice. It is the penetration into the spiritual realm that you are trying to achieve. Do you understand? And so that's why you gain alignment, so that you can penetrate. When you penetrate, you know it. You can feel it. You know the spirit realm is expanding as your spirit is groaning, not with articulate vocabulary, but with words of groaning, inarticulate words that the Holy Ghost is using to help you to pray. Are we still here? Because we are still talking praying, and praying to be effective must achieve penetration into the spiritual realm. And when it achieves penetration, it begins to rearrange things and expand and reshape things. But for penetration to occur, there must be heart alignment. Individually. But for corporate penetration to occur, so that we can move things on a massive scale, there must be structural alignment. It was structural aligning that Simon Peter was using to interpret the situation where they were arrested and beaten. And then they went back to their own company, and then they lifted up their hands and prayed, and then there was an earthquake. Acts chapter 4. Are we still together? Why did their prayer penetrate? Why did their prayer gain such a weight that it caused a physical shaking? It was structural alignment. Corporate and structural. Why? You know, the Bible says they lifted up their voice in one accord. That English is wrong. Do you realize? It should have been they lifted up their voices in one accord. But the Bible says, what was everybody praying? Were they repeating a prayer? Did they have a prayer book written down? Did Simon Peter even give them the prayer points? But the Bible says that's what I'm talking about. It was structural alignment. The day Solomon's temple was dedicated, the Bible says when the prayers, the priests and the singers lifted up their voice with the sounds and the instruments of music as to make one word. Make one sound. How can many people make one sound? How can many instruments make one sound? It is because of alignment individually that achieves structural alignment to gain corporate penetration. Are we still together? And that brought down the physical manifestation of the glory of God. It was the same thing. Balaam began seeing invisible things visibly in the camp of Israel. I shall see him but not near now. But I shall behold him but not nigh. He said the shout of a king is in their midst. So the things that were invisible, the invisible glory, became visible in Solomon's temple because of corporate alignment. The invisible king, the Lord of hosts, became visible in the camp of Israel because of structural alignment. The invisible manifestation, the invisible glory of God became visible as an earthquake when Peter and the company of believers prayed because of structural alignment. So we are gaining alignment individually so that we can tune to each other horizontally and then tune vertically to make massive movements in the spirit. That is where witchcraft does not work. That's where manipulation. Israel wasn't praying against Balaam or binding his curses. They just tuned in and they stayed the way they were ordered. And everything he was saying was bouncing back. Rather than becoming a curse to kill them, it became activation of timing for a blessing and a release of glory. But since we made that prayer about restoring of apostolic fatherhood and structural governing alignment, the Spirit of God has begun explaining the dynamics. Which brings us back to the same thing. What has he been saying? He said the dynamics of apostolic fatherhood in this time has to be in partnership with the utterance of babes and sucklings. Which brings us back to the issue of what? The purity of heart. Heart alignment, simplicity of heart. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, he has ordained strength because of the enemy, that he might steal the enemy and the avenger. And the Spirit of God has been emphasizing, the avenger does not come unless there is something to avenge. The avenger comes because there is something that went wrong that has to be recompensed. And there is something to be recompensed because there was a breach, a violation of the law. There is transgression somewhere. And that describes the day in which we are living, a day of vengeance. That we are living in right now. Where experience is failing. Where old age is not bringing the answer. Where eldership cannot discern the direction for corporate leadership. It's a failure of covering and leadership. And the Bible says in that day, he has put an ordination in the mouth of what? And sucklings. But the problem is, who knows what a babe and suckling is saying? Because a babe and a suckling is a baby that is still suckling. It's still with the feeding bottle. How much can a baby suckling say that you can understand? Hallelujah. It was a day of vengeance after Saul failed with the Amalekites. And God said, go to the house of Jesse and I will show you a king. And Samuel saw Eliab, he saw Shammah, he saw seven princes, potential princes in the house of Jesse. And God said, you look at the outward appearance. Here it is again. Me, I am looking at what? So you don't have a king. So the prophetic anointing came down. And the man stopped the service and said, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Is there anybody in this room I've not counted? He now said, wait, do you have anybody that is not present? At that point in time, there was trouble coming down the road. Do you see what I'm saying? There was vengeance coming. Saul had caught up, but they didn't know immediately, but God saw. David was how old? 13 years. It took prophetic eldership connecting with the babe and suckling to bring forth answers in the day of vengeance. Are you still here? God said in that day of vengeance, when there is trouble, where you need true fatherhood and leadership and the kingly anointing of the apostle, it is not the height or the stature that matters. It is the heart. And the kind of heart is the one that belongs to what? A babe and a suckling. The kind that they didn't think was good enough to attend that evening service. But the prophet had to look beyond his usual range of prophetic sight to be able to pinpoint where God was talking from. When the lad came in, he was a reddish, ruddy lad, still smelling of sheep. And God said, make haste, don't even see the anoint him. Because this one doesn't look like it at the outward appearance, but his heart is perfect before me. Do you see what we're saying? You know, somebody made a reference one time that when Samuel called all the seven sons of Jesse to the feast, that he sanctified them. Did you notice David was not sanctified when he came in? Because he was already sanctified. What is the mystery of Enoch? The man that was named Relief. And the elder who named him looked at him and said, in the days of this child, we will receive relief from the curse. What is the mystery of Emmanuel? What is the mystery of Mahashalal Hashbash? When two kings came to attack, it was a day of vengeance. And that's the day of vengeance we have in our country right now. Have you noticed? Or are you the only one in Israel who doesn't know what's going on? It's a day of vengeance. You can hear the utterances from the apostle. A lot of things determined for the year. But in such a time as this, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, God has ordained what? The ordination. Jesus said, I thank you because you have hidden these things from the wise and the prudent. And you have revealed them unto the what? The babes and the sucklings. But a babe and a suckling cannot talk. He cannot even define himself. He himself, Mahashalal Hashbash, before this child shall be able to say, my father, my mother, the thing he symbolizes will already be happening in two nations and two military wars, two military powers. Before Emmanuel will be able to choose, butter and honey will he eat, truly. But before he will be able to choose the good and refuse the evil, two military mice will be destroyed. But how will he say that about himself? How will he read the riddle on his forehead? And that is where apostolic eldership, prophetic eldership is now connected in divine relationship with the babes and the sucklings. Hallelujah. You will have the wisdom and the experience. But from them you can repent and learn purity of heart. There is the degree of revelation that is being given to even children, physical children right now, is scary. Jesus said the direction of repentance is in their own direction. He said greatness, who is the greatest in the kingdom? He set a child before them. Do you understand? So the direction of greatness and ranking. But they don't have the experience. There's no experience with the babe and suckling. So the elder must come in. Hallelujah. So if Jesus said, except you repent and become, that is realigning yourself into their state of heart. That is the direction of alignment. Once you tune into their realm, then you begin to see the face of God. You get audience. Jesus said, because let them come unto me, because they are angels, or such is the kingdom of God, and their angels always behold. That's access. That's like Elijah saying, as the Lord liveth, before whom I stand. The things you receive in your spirit by impartation comes from your angels having received from God. Your level of revelation increases when angelic presence draws near. So if your angel is always having access to the face of the Father, your level of sight is always very high. So what is Jesus saying? He said their level of sight, penetration, access, entrance, audience with the Father is very high. If you want to gain that kind of audience, become like a babe and a suckling. The Spirit of God is defining the dynamics for apostolic fatherhood
in these times. Hallelujah. Let's not go any further tonight. We shouldn't have an overload. But I must say this, that we have already hit critical times. We are no longer prophesying what's going to happen. Right now, we are in the midst of what is already happening. The Spirit of God is already releasing things that He intended. The shifts that He's spoken about are already taking place. The demand has gone to another level. The authority to build has been released. The authority to build. On December 30th, we were in Apostle's house. I need to say this. We were supposed to stay for the crossover night, but the Lord said stay and then leave on the 31st to come back on the 25th. That day we were speaking in your house, and the Spirit of God was making reference to the declaration, the response of Simon Peter. The man who will respond first before asking questions later. But that day God was talking about ranking, impartation, authority, territorial, kingdom keys. You notice that the contact at the end of January was around the same thing. The impartation of rank, authority. That's why we are talking about the apostolic and fatherhood and the measures of the apostolic to fulfill measures to complete witness so that kingdom can come. Those are the things that we were saying. That night, if you remember, as we were speaking, my wristwatch caught and fell on the ground. And I knew it was an indication for timing. Within that period and now, I've had several dates in which I knew gates of time were opening for impartations to come into the body. We will explain further later. One of the things that I found with people who shared these dates, prophets that I discovered in US, was that new wristwatches were given to them, old wristwatches fell off. This happened some years back, so when I read it, I was like, Lord, my wristwatch caught. I've not seen one. Then on Wednesday, I was in Jos with Daps and Co. And the Spirit of God was releasing and imparting and releasing dimensions. Then I saw an angel come down in a straight line out of heaven. And then he said, my name is the Rock. My name is Rock. And I'm here for apostolic building. Do you remember that a lot of the things we shared in your house on the night of the 30th was around Peter's impartation and ordination to build? Then the end of January, we talked about the apostolic measures and then the cry for fatherhood. Leading to the authority to build. That day, that angel came down and said, my name is the Rock. I bring Peter's dimension of building. That was Wednesday. At the end of the meeting, somebody gave me this wristwatch to show that it is time. I've been hearing all transits. People have been telling me,
Somebody have been calling and said, there's no more time. God says, it's time to do this. It's time to do this because there's no more time. Yeah, that is what this is. When you enter into the spiritual realm enters into you. Do you understand? Your whole world is sucked into that dimension. So that even physical things take on a spiritual dimension. I'm saying all of this to say that our time cycles are being completed. And we are no longer speaking about things to come. We are entering into the things that have been spoken about. Let's stand to our feet. When that angel came and said, I am rock, I come with Peter's building dimension, I now realize that it was that dimension that we were defining in that night. The authority, the ranking, which is apostolic, and then the wristwatch came after the meeting. Really, there is nothing that is built that God looks at beyond the heart position that builds it. And so we must set the first things first, and that is what is going on tonight. As we align with these apostolic time cycles, we find out that the gates of heaven are opening. We are speaking about internal personal alignment so that we can from there gain corporate alignment, gain structural alignment, and create massive movings of God. Can you lift your hands and stand before God again and say, search me. The comfort zones of men into the comfort zones of God. Spiritual time cycles are awoken. Ancient things are surfacing again on a new generation. The original tongue is being spoken. Tune our hearts to the nowness of the present realities of God in our midst. The nowness. He has revealed His awesome glory, but defined the state of heart in which He wants it to become. The Lord is no longer explaining. He is not forecasting. He's not giving theories, propounding hypotheses. He has entered into the fray. He is right here in our midst. He has changed the context in which all the things that we are doing exist. He has moved things from our world into His own world. The gates are open. The portals are revealed. Upon Simon Peter's declaration, Jesus declared and released the position to open the gates of heaven in such a way that the gates of hell can no longer prevail. Nor yet even resist. Upon Peter's heart position and verbal declaration of his heart belief, the gates of heaven swung open and the power to establish kingdom authority in the earth was released. The key is in your heart, says the Spirit of God. The key is in your heart, says the Spirit of God. The key is in your heart, shaped and aligned towards me, to open the gates of heaven. We talked about the giving of the keys. I'm telling you now, God is here now releasing keys. The authority to build, in such a way as cannot be resisted. We can build and struggle. Except the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain. We can labor and it be in vain. But we can build with the keys of the kingdom, and nothing can withstand it. The Spirit of God is here now, releasing the next measures of building. The authority. Yeah, the ability to expand and yet build legitimately. The voice and the power to open walks of heaven in the earth.
This is where we now stand.
The key is in your heart. Help us. Help us to be careful to behold that which many men have rushed past and they never got to see. Help us. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us, Father. Thank you, Lord. Left out of that which you want to do, that which you are doing right now. Let no one be left out. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. Please, you may be seated. It's not an intention to distract you. Distract you at all. Ushers, let the offering baskets go round. You know, the first day of these meetings that we hold, of any meeting that we hold whatsoever, is the most critical day. So much pressure so that the coordinates can be set aright. That delivers us from the temptation of getting lost in talking, because it's not about talking. We are not all about talk. But we need to set the coordinates right, so that everyone will have access into the realm of God's present activity. As you leave this place, I invite you to go back and pray the prayers of David.
Now we want corporate alignment. We seek corporate alignment. Not just that maybe Pastor Joe Great is aligned, Evangelist Chris is aligned, and then many other people are not aligned. And when he begins to speak from that realm, we cannot understand what he's talking about because we don't have what he has. We want corporate alignment. And hybrid structural alignment so that the portal, heaven, will be mirrored in the earth. And we can strap the glory of God in the earth and have his will done as it is in heaven. We want to trap God down. We want to trap his dimensions down here by creating a structure that synchronizes with the coordinates in heaven and the movements in heaven. But for that to happen, it's not a function of a strong man rising. It's a function of a corporate people that are in alignment. The Bible says when they had prayed, the place where they were praying was shaken. There was an alignment that was achieved on ground. And so that place where they were, heaven could explode in that place. There was an alignment that was achieved on the day of Pentecost in that upper room, and heaven was mirrored down, and heaven could be trapped. And the move of God started in a place that we have never known the name of that place. All we know is that upper room, but the location, the street number. And God can make there was an arrangement. Now we are moving from individual alignment. We want the corporate clan to be in alignment. And then in your sleep, in your dream, things will be, activities will begin to take place because there's that alignment corporately. Then it's at that point that we can pray and our voice will become like the voice of one man. The Lord will take us through that ladder. Just like angels ascend and descend, a portal will be open and it will be permanent in this land. Hallelujah. That's the secret of influence. That's where influence comes from. When there's structural alignment, God can break out. Invisible things become visible. That's where we are going. Hallelujah. I believe that the ministry of Branham was a sign to all of us. And the day will come when the invisible things of God can become visible. But you see, in Branham's day, it was just individual alignment that brought that level. And there was a burning fire, physical fire on his head that pictures captured. That was the anointing of signs and wonders. Angels that were walking with him because of alignment, they were revealing themselves in the natural in different shapes and sizes. We were capturing it as fire, but it took an alignment to bring that. His life was a prophecy that a day was going to come where that reality will not be an individual reality, it will be a corporate reality. Friends, church has shifted. That shifted so many furlongs away from what the mind of the average Christian sustains. And God is not about to stop. So once in a while, he brings us together so that we can bring forth his present revelation position in order for the people of God to achieve alignment. We need to trap heaven down. You know, many atheists took his pictures to the laboratory to test it for photo tricks, and they found out there was no trick, that it was real fire. The invincible can become visible through alignment. The glory can actually appear. Angels, you can see them actually walk in the physical. If there's the alignment that can trap that reality structurally. But the progression is from what? Personal alignment to what? Corporate alignment to what? Structural alignment, and then we have a portal.
then our God will no longer be a visitor, but he will be Emmanuel, right here with us. It's our calling to see that glory find expression. But the Bible says it shall come to pass that the knowledge of the glory of the Lord shall cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. For this we strive, because we find out that this was the secret of the apostles of old. They had a structure that trapped heaven down. How can you explain Peter coming back from town late, and his shadow had the capacity to make the sea whole? Alignment. That was not a visiting an anointing. It was there. Meanwhile, you would think it was the sun that determined where the shadow fell. So it was dependent on sunlight. So that kind of thing cannot happen in the night when there's no sun.
You are mistaken. It's not.
It was a ram. The ram was trapped on earth because there was a man that was alive. We need to trap things down. Men like Benson in the Hosa, they were more creatures of heaven than of earth because they ate the bread of heaven. They were just prototypes, signposts, things to come. Now God, through the prophetic and the apostolic, brings about a partnership, an insight, and a wisdom, so that these structures can be established. And just like in Jordan, the Holy Spirit came down and became bodily, and people saw the Holy Spirit come down in the form of a dove. Just like in Jordan, a chariot from heaven broke out and came and took somebody from earth. Who will trap God down? And listen to me, before we are done these few days, the Lord will show a sign. You know, after that prayer we prayed in January, my life has never been the same. One of the things I am afraid of is open air meeting. I will never preach open air. You don't know. That's my little secret anyway. Number two, I will never preach in a night vigil. Because whenever I stand in an open air meeting, the anointing will go. Whenever I stand to minister in the night vigil, that's why I wait. That's why anytime we go to the village, I say, I will never try. Because the anointing will go. But you know what? When we finish that meeting, something happened. Yes, when we are in meetings, angels touch me and I know. This one was not a touch. They held me. And the anointing never depleted. So I could stand on a crusade ground and even be 10 times more anointed than I have ever been. Ah. Then I preached in the night vigil. And the anointing increased. I knew a new day had come. Rise on your feet, let's pray. For you to be in this meeting today is because God planned it. Please, you need to go home and let's do a heart check. You will find many things before the break of day. We must achieve corporate alignment before we break camp. In this place, our faith will bring something down. You know, there's personal prayer, there's corporate prayer, there's personal faith, there's corporate faith. You know, the children of Israel were operating under corporate faith, and when they came to the border of the wilderness, corporate faith looked. And what was left was personal faith. And only Joshua and Caleb had personal faith. And only them survived. There are times of personal faith, actually. There's corporate prayer, there's personal prayer. The Bible says they had a different spirit. It was there. They had personal faith. They developed themselves in the corporate house. So when that which was on the corporate house lifted, they were still good to go. So they carried on. And the rest died in the wilderness. That's how God preserved his move.
He put something inside of the spirit of men and pushed them in the wilderness. Move! And a few men survive. Now, he wants those men to raise a clan and to raise a generation. We are going to trap something down, I tell you. Father, we give you praise, we give you glory. We have come from different places to tap into what you are doing. Fill every vessel. Touch every life. Move us forward deeper into the unfolding plan of the administration of your kingdom purposes. Let your name be glorified. In Jesus' mighty name. God bless you.